humidity, and the forecast for today is for a few showers right up and down the coast. A top of 18 for Foster, Tuncurry, Taree and Port Macquarie, and a top of 19 for Kempsey and Coffs Harbour. For tomorrow, a shower or two, a top of around 19 and an overnight of 10, and a bit chilly on Friday night, overnight of about 8, top of 20, but fine. And Saturday, mostly fine again, with a top of 21 and an overnight of 8. I'll be talking to Lewis Tillett very soon, but first we're going to have a listen to a bit of an old classic. This is Lewis Tillett performing Come On, and it's an old Atlantics number. Lewis Tillett there with Come On, the old Atlantics classic. And over the last several weeks, I've been talking to singer-songwriter and musician Lewis Tillett about his extraordinary life and the journey to where he is now. His very first memories of childhood are of horrendous nightmares that were ongoing for many years. Possibly as a result of his extremely unhappy and lonely childhood, he turned to alcohol later on in life to deal with the demons, but it was his undiagnosed mental illness that turned his life journey into a living hell. If not for his passion and devotion to his music, I might not be talking to him today, in and out of mental institutions for most of his adult life, but somehow still managing to write, record and perform his music. Lewis survived and overcame what would seem like the impossible. With the right medical treatment, although quite severe, he was able to get off the heavy medication that ruled his life and now sits before me a very talented, highly intelligent, healthy and hopefully a much happier man. Living proof there is always hope. looking back now at the age of 51, it's been one hell of a journey, and one that you almost quit on several occasions, wittingly or unwittingly. But we're all about positives today, and it's great to have you here, Lewis.
It is great to be here, and it's, as you say, it's been a long and harrowing journey, but and that there's always hope, and many people, and including well wishers, would not believe it could be possible. So, you know, it's wonderful for me, but it's equally as important to know for everyone who feels that they're in the depths and there is no way out, that it is not the case. Change takes place. It can often be very slow. The very fact that one may be listening to this right now is proof that there's hope.
Yes, and that was the message that you wanted to get across to at the end of this journey, isn't it, to anyone out there that has been taking this journey with us? And
It has been, and in fact it's been a message through the music all along, that no matter how dark and gloomy things, you know, we live in a world of duality, light and dark, and the darkness just gives more beauty to the light.
Yes. Well, look, you've recorded over a dozen albums, solo and otherwise. Have you ever tallied up how many songs you've actually written and recorded?
No, I haven't. I've tried sometimes, and especially if one takes into account the sort of co-writing and, you know, playing with many, many different bands, recording bands like the Beast Suburban, Laughing Clowns, Tex Don and Charlie, Tex Perkins himself, you know, Ed Cooper. It goes on and on and on, and in fact that's what's led me to my next project, which is setting up a relationship with the National Film and Sound Archives, which I hope will develop a sort of an avenue for me to contribute and offer to the Australian public, you know, that'll be there for free for everyone to access, not only the material that I'm aware of, but there is so much more that I'm actually not aware of, you know, including bootlegs, recordings that have been sketches that have been turned into other people's songs. There's a phenomenal amount of stuff, and after 3,000 or 4,000 gigs, you know, a song can say, well, was that the original song? I will often start off with, say, I'm playing this song, and that goes to another place. So live, a song might have started off with the intention of being a particular song, and that performance was a completely brand new song. So as far as spontaneous songs that may have been recorded on someone with a cassette player or whatever, there's just no way of knowing.
3,000 or 4,000 gigs, you said.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah. Yeah, through those incredibly difficult times, it was something that I still to this day, people, whenever they hear me speak on a program like this, they say, I had no idea, and often people who were health workers, a lot of them said they gained greater inspiration. Obviously, they have their own particular. Everyone has difficulties in life, and they'd say that they would see me sort of in a nutshell in the gutter, in a wreck, and then crawl out with some strength that came from somewhere, be on stage, perform, and then just fall back into a heap. But people never saw not many people saw the heap. Most people saw the performances, and they were the things that really helped me, gave me a reason to claw out of the pits.
Well, your next album, unreleased as yet, is To Ride a Dead Pony, and you've kindly brought in an advanced copy. Thank you very much. So at this point, I think we should play one of the tracks before we continue on too much further. It's quite a mixed bag of Lewis Tillett songs and other artists, including the Old Atlantic's number Come On, which we heard at the beginning of the show, which I love, by the way. But now we'll play one of your choice, and what do you think we should play?
I think we're going to play Swimming in the Mirror, And Swimming in the Mirror was the very first song that I wrote and recorded. And even despite the fact that I'd been playing in a band, What Taxis, that which was the opening track, it was really the idea of Damien Lovelock from a band called the Celibate Rifles, and people might see him doing the football or soccer on SBS, and his idea was to get three people, which was Damien, myself and Brett Myers from the band called Died Pretty, who all played in guitar rock bands, once again similar to that opening track, and each write a song and play them all acoustically. Damien had only just become aware of the fact that I could play piano, because my early stuff was just, I was just the singer in the band. And so we each wrote a song, recorded it, had to be all acoustic, and it was really quite remarkable, because the band had it was a one-off project and was called No Dance, obviously, to say this is not music to dance to, but to listen to what's behind all the racket in a lot of these bands' performances. And as the years unfolded, because of mentioned earlier, bands like Nirvana and were coming to Australia before. Or even actually after their major success in America and around the world. And I remember, this idea was right at the time of Kurt Cobain was playing in a pretty scummy old pub that I was living in Sydney. The band, well, his band Nirvana were playing there, and they considered it was a great idea. And it was you just noticed within a year or two there was MTV. Unplugged series, and which was basically this is a forerunner to it. And again, with part of this National Film and Sound Archives, I'd like people to know that this so-called small independent music really did have an effect right around the world. And if I go back to something I mentioned a few conversations ago about small independent Indigenous bands, the effect that they had around the world was remarkable. Australians don't know that, and it's a real crying shame.
All right, here it is, Swimming in the Mirror.
Thank you.
Swimming in the Mirror from Lewis Tillett's up-and-coming album, To Ride a Dead Pony. Now, you're hoping the album will be released in the next few months, Lewis, but you mentioned last week that it's really about 15 years in the making, I think you said.
Yes, and that's not including the fact that, that particular track then was recorded, you know, over 20 years ago. The initial idea was to try and consolidate for the European audiences a little bit about my history, and each time I decided, right, it's time to put this record out, there either another record came out or some other diversion, and I'm glad because it was originally compiled many years ago, and it was finally remastered at the time that I actually did the mastering of Soliloquy, and there was one track that there was a glitch on the recording when it came from the vinyl, so it just had to be dropped, and another track was replaced, and I think it was just fortuitous that made it a better album, and the mastering techniques today are really vastly improved. I always used to think it was just a big scam when they'd say, you know, digitally remastered. Well, it sounds the same to me, but no, this I've heard the original recording or compilation, and side by side this album now really comes alive.
Right. So the next few months, you said, hopefully.
Yes. Yeah. It's all complete, ready to go, and the reason why it's not just a matter of pushing it out there now is that I'm hoping to use it as a vehicle, because it is a really, it's got a really nice balance between being a contemporary album, yet it links all the pieces of the puzzle or the links in the chain together, and again referring to the project with the National Film and Sound Archive, so hoping to tie in a lot of visual images with it that are all out there and for people to send them in and answer your question, how many songs, how much stuff is out there? I don't know.
Yes. Mm. Yeah, well, it is a good album. I was very fortunate to be able to have a listen to it over the weekend, and I thank you for that. So we are going to look forward to having a proper copy in the studio.
Very soon. Yeah. It's got a spectacular tapestry cover that Rachel Slattery did, and it's a stunning piece of artwork, and again to have that image, and which in a beautiful way, the story within story within story in the tapestry, and with the nature of a CD format, one can't have a 500 photographs and 100 pages of liner notes, but it can be all put up on the website, so people can go to the National Film and Sound Archives or the Lewis Tillett website and not only look at all the old archival stuff, but hopefully they can contribute as well, so, you know, give and take and interactive.
All right, we're going to change tack a bit now.
Okay.
Because over the last few weeks, time has always been against us, and apart from everything we've discussed over the over the weeks. I'd love to get your quick response to some unrelated topics, a bit of a word game, if you like.
So, I love word games.
I'll say the word and let's hear what you've got. This is just getting to know Lewis Tillett a little bit better. And
okay.
Yeah. Okay, so first one, religion.
Religion, love. There can only be one religion. There can be many manifestations of it. It doesn't really matter. You know, what's love? Love is unity. Love is power. Love is takes away the duality. There's no conflict. There's one common good, one common truth, one common goal, and I think every religious manifestation or religion, if you like, should always use it as a touchstone, if to see if they've maybe gone a little off course by is its roots and origins based in love, because I believe all religions are the same in that their essence.
Illegal drugs.
Illegal drugs. It makes me laugh in some ways when I think of things like a war on drugs. It's I had to check my grammatical expressions, but I think that's an oxymoron. It's have a war on drugs. It's like saying I'm going to declare war on that brick out there. Yeah, I mean, illegal drugs are a thing. They're a inanimate object. I mean, anyone who's going to have a war on an inanimate object that is incapable of any action on its own behalf is really being a bit of a Don Quixote, you know, tilting at windmills. It's, you know, it's picking a fight that the other thing isn't fighting. You know, they exist. It's people's attitude towards them, people's interaction with them, and then passing that on to other people. And just say, come back to, you know, the simple fact is that, you know, is that good for you? Is it helpful? Does it create disunity, or does it create unity? Is it off the path of love? And make your own mind up.
Environment,
once again, unity. Unity and what drives the powerhouse. What's the electricity, if you like, that drives the environment? Is harmony, again, and I use love, and I think the environment is love in a... In living action, and when there's no love for the environment, conflict arises.
Absolutely. Pornography.
Pornography. Well, pornography's, again, it's a bit like tilting at windmills. If the people who don't like my idea about religion is there only being one religion and they want to follow their own different path, I could only say, well, you know, follow your own path. And what's the Bible say? You know, if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out.
Animals.
Once again, love. Animals just do their thing, and they have animals. People don't tend to think that they have. You can see people in animals. They have friends. They have families. They have arguments. They have disputes. They have, you know, attractions. They suffer the gamut of emotions that we all do, and I think there should be love. Once again, harmony with animals.
Beautifully said. Okay, music.
Music. Once again, love. It doesn't belong to anyone. I don't write these songs. I don't create music. Music is all around us. Always will be, and. I describe it. It's like the sea, you know. It can remain calm. Waves can crest at certain times, and that's what we see as a particular manifestation. But the power, the ocean is always there, whether the waves are there or not. And again, people who want to try and capture own separation, duality, say, I own that music. I'm going to make a buck out of it. I'm going to use that to influence someone. I'm going to do that. We're out of step, out of harmony, and create pain, but that passes. It's more powerful.
Australia, or to be an Australian, might be.
Australia, if only people could really get their head around that we're not the Khmer Rouge, and it's not Pol Pot. You know, history didn't start in 1788. You know, Australia has. Is a gift to all of us, where we're guests here, and Australia will look after us as long as we show our respect, harmony, humility, and love towards the place, the people that we live in, and share it, and let's stop putting constraints, constructs, and saying we need to invent an Australian identity. It's an absurdity. And Australia already has an incredibly powerful identity, and it's a living identity. It didn't start. There was no history. We're going to start history year zero. And that's my reference to Pol Pot, and people say that, well, that's a bit extreme. But I mean, what are we always told? Australia Day. We start on this day. Well, we didn't. You know, that's absurd. And again, if we could tie all of these things, religion, you know, Australia, you know, pornography, all the drugs, I mean, they're all around us. Nothing's coming at us. We don't need to be so defensive.
One of my favourite lines is, I consider myself a member of the human race first and an Australian second.
Yeah, well, you know, we are. I mean, how can I say I'm proud to be Australian? I didn't get a choice, you know. I'm grateful, but I'd be equally grateful to have been born in the continent of Africa, the subcontinent of India, you know, to be born in Latin America, wherever I happen to be, I'm grateful.
Well, thank you for your time, your honesty and your openness, Lewis, and your journey is far from over, but for us now we've come to the end of an enlightening one.
Well, thank you. It really has been a pleasure, and you know, it's the positive is really a nice way to sum up this whole thing, and you know, this is the end of one little particular, you know, sort of leg of the journey, but the journey continues. And and as a good friend of mine who recently passed away, and I'd like to make mention of, he's known as Dr. Bronstein Karlaka, a Christian name or born given name, Greg Donovan. When he was asked to describe Lewis in a particular television documentary, said, well, Lewis just sails along, often in the fog, often at night, often in the sunshine. Every now and then he runs up against a reef, and all he does is just plug the holes, sit back, relax, waits for the tide to come in, and sails off again. And yeah, there are tides in the events of men, you know. Once taken at the flood will lead on to good fortune, and once missed, he'll lead one drowning in the shallows of misery and despair, and just continue to keep sailing on to the land beyond where the wind comes from.
Well, at some stage in the future, we look forward to the next instalment. But for now, we shall depart this journey with a song from your upcoming album, To Ride a Dead Pony. And it is, what is it, Lewis?
It's One Kind Favour, and it's from a raggedy old, which was incredibly exciting, band called Paris Screen. There's been no recordings of Paris Screen released, and many people, we played always in the hole in the wall where no one would go, and people would come. Everything about it was unhip, and except the music, and I'm sure, well, not I'm sure, I know that there are many, many people who remember Paris Green, and this was this is a recording of Paris Green. I believe it's an old blues song called One Kind Favour.
Thank you once again, Lewis.
You're welcome.